So we could hire new cooks and revamp the menus, or it's 120% cheaper just to change the signage.
Yes. Let's just change the name. Yeah. This is the Exploring the National Parks podcast with Dirt in My Shoes. My name is Ash, and I'm a former park ranger and the founder of Dirt in My Shoes. I think that the parks are best seen from the trail, and I'm here to make national park trip planning easy.
And I'm John. I carry the kids on the trails, I tell stories, and notice all the things that Ash doesn't care about much, like trees.
Join us as we show you around America's spectacular national parks.
We're sharing our favorite places, fun facts, adventures, and misadventures.
And we'll even throw in a little trip planning.
Let's start exploring.
I've been working on updating all the Dirt in My Shoes itineraries. I always do like a big, massive update once a year. And then I do weekly updates just all throughout the year.
Right.
But anyway, so this massive update is always just a big undertaking. I was working on the dining guides, and guess what park is rebranding all the restaurants?
Oh, no.
This is an ongoing...
Yellowstone?
No.
Grand Canyon.
Yes. This is an ongoing joke that we have.
Oh, my gosh.
Grand Canyon. Let's just be honest. The food in the national parks is not great most of the time.
Right.
It's like Grand Canyon's like trying to avoid all their bad reviews by just naming their restaurant something new
every five years.
No, they just changed them like a year ago, I swear.
Oh my gosh. I'm just imagining this in like a superintendent meeting or whatever. It's just like, so we could hire new cooks and revamp the menus, or... it's 120% cheaper just to change the signage.
Yeah. Let's just change the name. Yeah. It's like instead of the, and this isn't the exact because I didn't write it down for the podcast episode, but it was like instead of the Bright Angel Cafe, it's now the Bright Angel Rim Lodge Cafe. Do you know what I mean? It's like, come on.
That's so bad.
Oh, I know. So bad. Laughing.
We don't believe you.
The food is still not great.
There's a comedian that was made a joke once. He's like, under new management just means like still a dump. Yeah. You know?
Isn't that Nate Bargatze? I've heard it recently. I had a laugh. But for those of you that have Dirt in My Shoes itineraries, everything is updated. If you haven't re-downloaded your documents in the past little while, go in there and do it because everything's updated. And make sure you check the itinerary updates page that's included with your itinerary, because that's where you'll find all the weekly updates.
Right.
So that you have the most up-to-date info. So, public service announcement, but also I just thought it was funny.
That's
was
hilarious.
Like, oh, man, Grand Canyon. They're at it again.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. That really is just a running joke.
It is.
But it's so true to life, which is ridiculous.
But today we wanted to try something new on the podcast. We've been thinking about doing this for a while, but we want to answer questions that people send into us, or we get a lot of requests for episodes, and we want to talk about those requests without having it be like a full episode. A lot of those questions don't constitute a full episode. So we're starting, hopefully, going forward to do some mailbag episodes.
Right.
I really wanted to name this something different because everybody names a mailbag.
I know.
And I was like trying to be original. I was like, what's a synonym for mailbag?
It was so funny. I was going through like, I don't know, Pony Express bag, the saddle bag, satchel, but the possibles bag, the stagecoach box. I don't know. We tried a bunch of things.
Q&A or something. What we found is that there's a reason every podcast calls it the mailbag.
Right.
Because that makes the most sense.
It does.
Mailbag it is.
Let us know if you have a better name.
That would be nice.
That would be great. But for now, we'll just keep calling it the mailbag.
So today we're going to answer some questions. If you have questions for us, go to dirtinmyshoes.com/podcast. There's a form on that page where you can submit things to us. That's where we've been getting a lot of our requests for episodes.
Right.
And questions and things like that. So if you want to hear it on the podcast, go there. But let's start with question number one.
Perfect. So this question comes from Susanna. Hey, y'all. I should probably not read it in an accent.
No, it's super cute. She definitely has an accent.
Hey, y'all. I'm loving listening to your podcast each week. This week, you talked about camping as one of your ways to help save money. This was episode 67. I've never been camping and would love an episode on tips and tricks for beginners.
So we go camping a lot.
We do.
Tips and tricks for beginners. John, I think what came to mind first for me is like to focus on your gear and your meals. I think that makes the most of a difference,
yeah.
I guess, in your experience.
Yeah.
But first of all, like if you're going to go camping in the national parks, you've got to get online and check when they are actually opening up those reservations.
Right.
Because most everything is moving over to reservation only, very competitive. First and foremost, get your campsite. And you have to do that usually 6 months in advance.
Yeah. My thought went to, you don't need to find or buy the most expensive gear.
Yeah.
Like if you're just starting out, like just like any hobby, seems like if you get started, there's a buy-in price. There's an upfront cost that you have to front to get the right gear or whatever to start any hobby. With camping is the same. However, the best thing about camping is that you can find almost everything you need at either your dad's house, his garage, or like a thrift store or something like that. You can get a lot of stuff used and really cheap. And as you go along, you can just replace some things with some nicer items as you go. But it shouldn't be like a super expensive thing to start camping.
And the thing is it can be. Like you can always find something better to buy and something more expensive.
Right.
But that's why, yeah, like focus on the gear. A couple of tips for that is like for a tent, they always categorize tents as by like number of people that will fit in it. Those are false. Okay. So
that's literally
if you're like nose to nose.
Right.
With your friends or family. And so if it says a 4-man tent, like our family of four, we have a 6-man tent.
Right.
And that fits us and some of our stuff.
Right, exactly.
Pretty comfortably, but it's still, it's like you look at it and you're like, there's no way this is a 6-man tent. It barely fits four.
Right, exactly. So, which means that a 2-man tent, you either need to be related or very close to that person.
Yes, in love.
Yes.
So that's one thing, like the degrees on a sleeping bag. That is generally just a guideline for how cold it might get while you're camping. I like to go pretty low.
Yeah.
All of mine are like 0 to 10 degrees or so. If you need to save some money, you can go a little bit higher. But when you're camping in the national parks, a lot of times it gets way colder than you think it's going to get.
It's true. And you can
at higher elevations.
You can always unzip the sleeping bag. You can't necessarily add stuff if you didn't bring it. You can't change the cold, but you can adjust to the warm.
Yeah. And the other thing is like, and John said, you can get some gear for cheap. I mean, I wouldn't go like super cheap because then you'll get a tent with holes or something, but you can rent gear.
Yeah.
And maybe if you're just getting started, it would make more sense to rent because you might find, I don't like this type of tent. I don't think it's big enough. Or like for me, like I bought a really nice mummy bag and I've had that mummy bag for like 10 years, but guess what? I hate it. I hate mummy bags. But like, I don't want to buy a new one because I spent so much on that one. I feel like I have to use it.
Right.
It's about time. I am going to buy a new one this summer. I decided we're going backpacking this summer.
As she's saying it, she's like, you know what? I'm done.
I'm done with that. So like a lot of times you don't know what you don't know until you do it. So don't let the cost of getting new stuff keep you from doing it.
Right.
Just focus on a few like key pieces of gear. And again, you can rent instead of buy if you're just trying to figure out what you like.
A couple of things, like we like Kelty tents a lot. For our kids, we make sure they have good shoes. So we got them Salomon or Merrell hiking boots. But also one tip that helps Ash sleep a lot is like a little blanket inside the sleeping bag that she can have next to her face. So she doesn't hear like the from the nylon of the sleeping bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I got this travel blanket on Amazon that I take everywhere, literally everywhere. And it folds down to like the size of a Coke can. And so, it creates a barrier between me and other blankets from like hotels and stuff like that. I like my own blanket.
Or something nice around her face so that she can sleep better.
I am picky about that. Also, lots of drugs. just kidding.
Over the counter.
I do usually bring like melatonin or something like that with me to help me sleep, just so that I have a better night's rest. But anyway, and then so gear and then food. We talked about that. If you can focus on meals that are really simple, things that don't use a lot of ingredients or don't need like a ton of cleanup, I think that's the best way to like start. Because as you get camping more, then you'll kind of dial in your cooking system as well. But like a simple stove and a pot to use. So we'll do things like for breakfast, we'll boil water and put it over instant oatmeal or fruit and pastries, stuff like that. That's just like not a ton of, we have to do like the bacon and the eggs and the huge cleanup and stuff. Like that can be really overwhelming, especially as a first time camper.
Right.
You'll be like, oh my gosh, this takes forever and I don't know how to clean without water.
Yes.
All that stuff. So for lunches, we usually do like sandwiches or we'll do like hummus and pita wraps or something like that. That just doesn't take a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Dinner cooking over the campfire is one of the easiest ways that you can feed your family for dinner.
Right.
So tinfoil dinners or roasting hot dogs or something like that. Sometimes we'll do soup. Again, just using like the one pot and the cooktop that we have, we'll do some soup with like some bread or something.
Right.
So just don't try to like, if you get on Pinterest and you're like, all these people have like 50 ideas for camping recipes and I need to bring a ton of ingredients and I need to have all this stuff. And
right.
Don't do that until you're like more used to camping.
Right. Honestly, we have a dialed in bunch of recipes where I basically already know what we're eating on a 5-day trip.
Because it's so much easier.
Yeah.
And then sometimes we will do like a Dutch oven meal or we will get out the griddle and do bacon and eggs and everything, pancakes and everything.
Right.
But we don't do that all the time because it just takes a lot of extra work that maybe might feel a little overwhelming, especially as you're starting off.
Keep it simple.
Camping. A couple other things I just thought up. Make sure you set up your equipment before you go. Make sure you know how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Do that at home while you still have internet to look things up and stuff. Learn how to make a fire. It's a skill, but you're going to want to know how to make a fire without just having to douse it with a ton of lighter fluid.
Especially if you're planning on cooking over that same fire, the lighter fluid will make your food taste like lighter fluid. So
wear layers because you are always going to be, when you're out in the elements, you're always going to be a little bit uncomfortable. It's either going to get too warm or too cold. And it's nice to be able to put on layers and take off layers and and adjust that way. Bug spray always. Do not leave bug spray at home.
Definitely not. And you may have heard from people, oh, that place isn't that bad. But it can change.
We have encountered mosquitoes in some really strange places that I would not have expected.
Yes. So,
always have bug spray. And then for finding campsites near the national parks and stuff, we like the Campendium website. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people use the dirt. I like Campendium better. I use that more. But websites like that work. So hopefully that helps. But the name of the game is just keep it simple and don't feel like you have to spend a ton of money to get started.
Yes. All right, this next question comes to us from Jamie. Hi, I love your podcast. I'm someone who wants to travel and visit lots of parks, but will likely end up doing solo travel since I haven't found my adventure buddy. I'm wondering if you've considered doing a podcast on best parks for going solo, particularly as a woman who wants to hike. I'm trying to keep safe from animals and other threats and want to know the safest trails that are a good adventure alone.
Jamie, I feel ya. I feel ya, girl. It is hard to find an adventure buddy.
Yes.
I mean, I married mine, but even still,
like, and gave birth to the other ones.
Yeah. But even still, like, if you can't find anyone to go with, it is, I mean, you just, sometimes you just have to go adventure by yourself. Mm-hmm. So I totally understand. In fact, the other day I was complaining because I finally, like, one of my friends was like, I want to go hiking. Should we go hiking? And I was like, oh, heck yes. Like, and I like clear out my Saturday morning for her. So I'm so excited to finally have someone to go hiking with because I cannot find people to hike with me.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. I was like so excited. And then the night before she texted me and she's like, actually, can we go to breakfast instead? I just Don't
you
really.
Were so, like, disappointed.
I was so mad. I was like, she already knows my schedule is clear. I don't have a good excuse to say no breakfast. But I was like, no, I wanted to go hiking.
It was like from The Office when Michael tricks Jim and Pam into going to like a dinner party or whatever.
Aw, wah, wah. So I totally get it. As I was thinking about your question, I was trying to think of parks that have like really epic hiking trails, because as someone who really loves to hike but has to go solo, you don't want to feel like you're like missing out on stuff.
Right.
You don't want to feel like you just have to stick to the viewpoints and like the little stuff.
Right.
Sometimes you just want a big hike.
Yeah. You want to go on an adventure.
Yeah. So the parks that came to mind that I think they have epic trails, but these trails stay busy enough that you're not going to be like stranded by yourself if something happens to you.
Right. You'll be able to call for help.
Yeah. There will be people passing by you. You won't feel like you're totally alone out there. And so the ones that really came to my mind was the Highline Trail in Glacier. That's a really good one. I solo hiked that one last summer. I went beyond where my family was willing to go.
Right.
And it was fine. There's plenty of people on that trail. That one is a great one. Angel's Landing or the Narrows in Zion National Park are both great ones that will feel like you're like totally out there adventuring, but you're adventuring with other people around you.
Right.
The Skyline Trail or the Burroughs Trail in Mount Rainier. Those ones are epic, epic trails. But you will have people around you on those ones. The Mist Trail in Yosemite, the Peekaboo Loop in Bryce Canyon, Sky Pond in Rocky Mountain. Really, any of those like bigger lake hikes in Rocky Mountain stay really busy, but they're epic. So that's an awesome park for that. Acadia has some really good mountain hikes, like the Beehive. You will have other people around. Any of the mountain hikes, though, are really good.
Right.
John did get lost doing the Precipice Trail in Acadia.
Watch the blazes.
Yeah.
And make sure they're the same color.
So make sure you have a map.
Light blue and sky blue are different trails.
Those are the ones that really came to my mind as far as like, you want a solo hike, you want to go somewhere epic, but you're not totally by yourself.
Right. And then parks to avoid.
Nobody hikes in Yellowstone. If you want to go to Yellowstone by yourself, that's fine. On the boardwalk areas and stuff, you'll have plenty of people around you and stuff. But like when you hit the longer trails in Yellowstone, you'll be by yourself.
Yeah. We have found this to be fairly true for almost every national park. If you get half a mile onto a trail, you'll lose most of the crowds. But those trails that Ash mentioned just a minute ago are exceptions to that rule. And Yellowstone, as a general rule, nobody hikes.
Yeah, I mean, you could go to Washburn Point. That one stays pretty busy, or at least you wouldn't feel like you're all by yourself. But Yellowstone does have a lot of bears.
Yeah.
And that's also why I didn't include Grand Teton
as
any of the trails, because you almost always hit like some point where there's just more wildlife than people.
Right.
Which is fantastic. If you have people to talk to.
Right.
And you can scare those bears off the trail. When you're by yourself, though, not so much fun. Yeah. Yellowstone, I would hesitate to do any like longer trails by yourself. Grand Canyon, those trails stay pretty busy, but they're also very dangerous trails.
And
so it's nice to have somebody with you.
Yeah. Those are like the most dangerous trails in the country because it's hard to get you out.
Yeah.
If something happens.
Yeah. You can. Again, I totally understand. Like, you want to go and you want to see the things and you don't want to have to wait on other people.
Yep.
Because that gets really annoying. You can't count on other people to be your adventure buddy a lot of the time. And so hopefully that helps kind of give you somewhere to start. But those are the trails that I would do if I wanted a long hiking trail and not feel like I'm like totally alone out in the wilderness.
Right.
By myself.
So this next is actually a series of questions comes to us from Scott. He asks, how did you become a park ranger and what led you to pursue that career?
We have a full episode about this. It's episode 33, How to Become a Park Ranger, where we talk about this in detail. But basically, I just spent so much time in the parks and I realized that you could do that for a job. And so it was kind of a no-brainer for me.
Yeah.
It is kind of hard to get started. So again, that podcast episode 33 will talk through like more of the nitty gritty of the process of getting started. But I just thought it would be a dream job to be out in the national parks and getting paid for it.
Yes.
And it was, in a lot of ways, it was like the perfect dream job.
And in that same episode, if case that's a direction you want to go with your career, Ash walks you through several ways to help you get to that point. But a couple other questions he asks, how do you support yourselves?
We support ourselves all from Dirt in My Shoes. Let's see, it's been 9 years now that we've been running Dirt in My Shoes. I started it when I stopped working for the Park Service and I had my first baby. Mm-hmm. And I was so sad because I felt like I was just like the most boring person ever now. I went from being a park ranger to being a mom who just stayed at home and changed diapers. And that was a really hard transition for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so John encouraged me to just like write down all the fun things that we do in the parks and start putting it out there, mostly for me and my mental health, so that I felt like, oh yeah, we still do fun things and we still go on adventures.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where Dirt in My Shoes started. I ran it by myself for a couple of years, and then John quit his job and started doing, he's been working back end of Dirt in My Shoes for a long time. Us starting this podcast and him kind of coming to the front
is weird.
Yes. It was a funny transition because it's like he's been in the background the whole time doing like editing photos and videos and stuff like that. He's been working behind the scenes. But yeah, we now just full time, both of us work for Dirt in My Shoes.
Another question he asked was, do you still live in a camper?
We do not, regrettably.
Only in the summer times. That's when we live for the majority of the summers.
Yeah. So we were full-time RVers for 3 years, mostly just in an effort to be able to spend as much time as possible in each park so that we could really get to know it,
mm-hmm.
so that we could write itineraries and help you plan your own trips.
Right.
So that phase of our life is done. I want to go back to it when the kids are a little bit older. I want to do it again.
Yeah, we may return to trailer life, full-time trailer life, a little bit later when the kids are a bit older.
Yeah, it was so great, though.
Yeah.
So now we just camp a lot, which is kind of the best of both worlds, I would say.
Yep. And then his final two questions, do you ever get out east of the Mississippi River, and have you been to Indiana Dunes National Park?
We do get out east of the Mississippi River. There's not as many national parks out there. That's just, you know, how it is.
Yes.
So yes, we do. But a lot of times we do focus our efforts on the west just because you can hit so many parks in one trip
mm-hmm.
out west. And so it's kind of more a bang for your buck.
Right.
We're going to Tennessee and we're going to hit the Appalachian Mountains, Great Smoky Mountains, Mammoth Cave, all of that. Coming up, that will actually be, what, the third time in like 5 years that I've been to Mammoth Cave.
That'd be awesome.
So
so excited. We get to stay in the lodge this time.
Yeah.
Which is pretty competitive and hard to get into sometimes.
It's newly renovated, so we'll see. We'll see
under
how
new
it
management.
Is. Yeah. But yeah, so we're doing that. We're hoping to get, we've tried to get to New River Gorge. Basically, since it became a national park, we've had to cancel that trip. I think 3 different times because John has a bad back.
I had back
surgeries.
And he
surgeries. Can't go rafting. And anyway, so we're hoping to
year.
Get there.
This is the year it happens.
We've been to Acadia. We go to Florida pretty often. So we do get out there. It's just most of the bigger parks that a lot of people want information on are parks out west.
Right.
And we live in Utah. We're out west.
Yes. We have not yet been to Indiana Dunes, but shortly.
We passed it when it was not a national park.
Right.
We got stuck in Chicago traffic. And anyway, we're making our way out that direction. And we passed by Indiana Dunes and we were like, oh, that would be fun. Too bad we just sat in traffic for 3 hours. So.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they made it a national park like a year after that. So we do still need to get out there as well.
But thank you for your questions, Scott and Savannah and Jamie. We sure appreciate you guys. And if you have any more questions for us, feel free, definitely send them in. Let us know.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in today. We will be here same time, same place next week talking about another really great national park. And we appreciate you exploring the national parks with us.